Hi, I'm Allison Haley. Welcome to the Consciously Curious podcast. I wholeheartedly believe in the transformative power of curiosity. Here at Consciously Curious, we will use curiosity as our guiding force in exploring the realms of spirituality, self-development, and wellness, and maybe a taboo topic or two. This will be a safe space to explore with childlike innocence and without judgment. So let's drop our biases and keep an open mind. And together we will embark on a journey to finding greater alignment, healing, and self-love. The mission here is to explore the ways in which our mind, body, and soul are all connected, and to be a beacon of light and support for those navigating their own conscious up-leveling, transformation, or personal evolution. I believe that when we do the work on ourselves, we not only feel more grounded within our authenticity, but also help to raise the heights of those around us and the collective. So, are you ready? Let's do this together. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. And welcome to Consciously Curious. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Consciously Curious podcast. I am Haley, your host, and I'm so grateful to have you here. Whether you are new or a returning listener, you're just the best. I appreciate you being here. It means more than you know. This podcast has been such a fun passion project of mine. This is the 13th episode, and we are rounding out season one at 15 episodes. So we only have a couple of weeks left before I take a few weeks off and prep for, well, something quite big, which I'll be sharing in the last episode of the season. But we are also prepping for season two, finding the best guests, curating the best topics that we haven't covered yet. And I said in our last episode that with season two, I really want to incorporate some of your suggestions. If you have really loved the first season of the Consciously Curious podcast, then I want to hear from you. Head over to the podcast Instagram page at Consciously Curious Podcast. It is the longest Instagram handle ever, but it's fine. Head over there, send me a DM. Let me know what topics are really intriguing to you. What are you super curious about? Any topic that kind of falls along the lines of understanding transformative seasons, anything that has really helped you come home to yourself, anything that kind of helps explain or helps you better understand how our mind, body, and soul are all connected. I would love to hear about it. So head over to the Instagram page and DM me. I want to hear from you because we, like I said, are getting ready for season two. And we have a lot of really great ideas. We have a lot of great guests lined up already, but there's more room for ideas and incredible guests that maybe you think would be incredible on the show. So yeah, get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. I hope that your summer is going really well. I cannot believe that we are almost to the end of July. I don't know where the summer has gone. I feel like we haven't really gotten a proper summer here in the UK because it's only just gotten warm here. But at the same time, we have been so busy. We have gone to concerts. We've had guests visiting and staying with us. We've gone down to friends' homes or family's homes and stayed with them. So we have definitely had a full-on summer already, even if the heat has not really been here. We are actually going out of town this week, John and I, just us two getting away for a few days, and we're really excited. We're actually going to Bath, which is a city that is quite big here in the UK, but I've actually never been. So I'm so excited to kind of get away for a few days with just John. I feel like those opportunities are really few and far between after you have kids. And so really grateful to John's mom who's coming up to spend some time with Louie and allow us to escape for a few days and have some fun, just he and I, and explore a new to me place. I think he's been before, and his mom and his sister have been before a couple of times and they rave about it. So they have gotten me even more excited about this trip. I'm recording this over the weekend so that it's all prepped and ready to go before we have those few days away so I can focus on just enjoying it and not having too much work on my plate. So yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. The summer has been really fun so far for us, and I hope that it's the same for you. So today, let's go ahead and get into this amazing episode that I have for you. This topic has been a topic that I have just found completely and utterly mind-blowing. I mean, I think every topic that we cover in season one has been something that has expanded me, that has opened my eyes to something, that has really been a friend to me in a big way when it comes to this transformative season that I've been navigating over the past few years. And this topic is really no different. But one thing that it does do is it blends together two things that I just love so much. The first of which is astrology. A lot of you guys know that over the last few years, I have just loved it. I have just really enjoyed learning about it, debunking all of the things that I've been taught about it. And it's really offered me a lot of understanding about the different quirks that I have. It's just really helped me understand my lived experience so much better. And yeah, so obviously you guys know that I love astrology. I love talking astrology. But then a lot of you who have followed me for a really long time know that I love travel. Obviously, I live abroad. So there is a love for being abroad. There's a love for living abroad. You guys know that I fought so hard to live in London or at least outside of it. I fought really hard to live in the UK because it's a place that I just felt so just drawn to, even if I couldn't really explain why. If you are new to the podcast, if you're new to me, the first episode of season one explains who I am, but also how I ended up living abroad and my draw here. So I was always really curious as to why I felt such a different energy here in the UK versus other amazing places that I've been to before, like Rome or Greece or, I don't know, even like Nashville or Malibu. Like all of those places are lovely. They're beautiful. And I enjoyed my time there. But I didn't have this connection to it, this like visceral, obvious, energetic pull, like where I had to stay here. I had to be here. I don't know. So anyways, I was studying astrology and I've never really tried to figure out the answer to that question or anything. But while I was studying astrology, I happened to come across this subsect of astrology called astrocartography, like a subcategory of astrology. And essentially, it is the astrology of place, where you could put in your birth information, your birth location, your birth time, your birth date, and it shows you a map with all of these lines all over the map. And it's a bit overwhelming at first, but they're all different colors and they essentially all represent a planet and the energy that you'll feel in very specific places around the world. And everyone's map is different. So you'll feel a different feeling in London than maybe I do. And I'll feel a different place in Washington, D.C. than you do. So it's all very specific to you based on your birth information. And this has just completely blown my mind because it has absolutely 1,000% validated and made why I feel so pulled here make sense. And it has so much to do with the lines that are really close to this location. And we talk about it a lot in this episode, so I won't really say anything else. But I didn't want to have anyone come on to this podcast and talk about this topic other than the guest that we have today, because she is so passionate about this topic and she is so knowledgeable about it. And she has such a just contagiously joyful energy. And I'm so excited for you guys to learn all about it from her. So we have Helena Woods on the podcast today, and she is a world-traveling astrocartographer, teacher, and published author. She's an astrologer, obviously, and she uniquely specializes in location, helping people find the best places to live and travel based on their birth chart. She's originally from San Diego, but she lives in France, has for years with her husband. But what she does is she also travels for most of the year so she can learn about all the different astrocartography lines, use her experience to teach other people about astrocartography and how it can play out in your everyday life. I had the pleasure of meeting her in person a few months after we recorded this episode here in London, and she is just as happy and joyful, and she's just a ray of sunshine, honestly. And my biggest takeaway from my time with her is her biggest aim and highest calling, she feels, is to inspire others to create a magical life in a place that they love. Obviously, like not everyone could move halfway around the world just to live on their sun line or their Jupiter line or whatever, but she inspires you to use this tool to live a life full of joy and love and light and use it to your advantage. If you can't move there, try and travel there at some point in your life. And so anyways, I'm so excited for you guys to learn about this topic today. Be sure to go to the Instagram for the podcast and let me know how you like it. Share it with your friends if you enjoy it. And be sure to follow Helena. I'm going to leave all of her information down below. Thank you guys so much for being here today. I appreciate you guys so much. I am going to leave you now to enjoy this episode with Helena Woods. Enjoy. Okay, so I have been really honest about the insecurities that I have around my skin, particularly on my face. Growing up in Florida, I didn't always take the proper and necessary precautions in the sun, and I am certainly paying the price for it now. I have uneven skin tone, dark spots, and redness, and I feel like, gosh, after having Louis, it just got worse, and it feels like I'm fighting an uphill battle at this point. And, you know, of course, I do my best to be consistent with my skincare routine and apply SPF every day and all of that, but I have been like, okay, what else can I do? What else is out there that could be helpful? So I started exploring red light therapy. It's been something that I've been hearing about for a while. So a few months ago, I finally sat down to really figure out what all the fuss is about. And I came across Current Body. So Current Body have been the leaders in the beauty tech space for over 14 years. Their mission is to source breakthrough, clinically proven technologies and bring them to users in the comfort of their own home. And when I tell you that that is exactly what I love about the product that I've been using, outside of the fact that it's also effective, I am not lying. It is so convenient to use. It only takes 10 minutes, and you can do it while doing a puzzle with your child or vacuuming your house. It's such a freaking luxury, I swear. So the product of theirs that I've been trying out is their LED light therapy mask. You can find quite a few of these masks on the market, but Current Body's is 31% more powerful, and it performed the best in independent testing, emitting the most precise, clinically proven wavelength out of the masks tested. The technology it uses is pretty incredible. There are 132 LED bulbs, 66 red and 66 near-infrared wavelengths, which are diffused with pillow technology, just making sure that it reaches the maximum skin coverage that it can. These are clinically proven wavelengths that reach up to 4 centimeters of skin tissue, which stimulate the cells within. And this, in turn, accelerates collagen production, it calms redness, boosts blood circulation, bringing oxygen to the cells, and improves and promotes a more even skin tone. And as for me, in terms of results, I've been seeing a brightening of my skin. I feel like my radiance is returning, which is certainly welcome after these first few years of motherhood, not gonna lie. But yeah, overall, I'm really, really loving my results. I'm starting to see a more balanced skin tone as well. But I think, like I said, what I love just as much is the convenience of it. You can wear it for 10 minutes. You don't even have to keep your eye on the clock. You push the button and the session is timed and it turns off on its own when it's done. It's been truly the easiest thing to integrate into my beauty routine. So if you've been wanting to try one for yourself, I'm so excited to share a discount code with you guys. And this is valid on any Current Body product. Simply head to the link in the show notes and enter Allison Haley, that's AlysonHaley, to enjoy 15% off your purchase. This offer is available to those of you in both the US and the UK. And again, just visit the direct link in the show notes and enter Allison Haley, AlysonHaley at checkout to receive 15% off.
Welcome to another episode of the Consciously Curious podcast. We have an exciting, beautiful, incredible, joyful guest today, and we are going to dive into a topic that I have been so excited to cover here on the podcast. We have Helena Woods, an astrologer and astrocartographer. So welcome.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. This is such an exciting topic that I think is just so important, and it's such a joy to talk about this with you.
Well, I think to start off, I'd love for you to sign in, if you will. So to sign in, we need to know, one, where you're from originally, but two, where you call home now, and also your sun, moon, and rising, if you don't mind.
Ooh, yeah, I love that. So I'm from San Diego, California, originally. I now live in France and moved there 6 years ago. And my sun, moon, rising, I'm a Taurus sun, Leo moon, Scorpio rising.
Love, 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 love. And I'm talking to a fellow expat. I know you're in LA currently while we're recording this, but you still call France home.
Oh, yeah. France is home. It's where I want to retire, grow old. Maybe not France exactly, but on that line which I've got through France.
Amazing. Amazing.
Well, for anyone who's not familiar with astrocartography, I mean, I think you can kind of hear the word and assume what it might mean. But for those who are not familiar with what astrocartography is, would you mind just kind of sharing what it is?
Yeah, it's the energy of place based on your birth chart. So when you took your first breath in the world using your birth data, you can see where planets were angular in different parts of the world. And you basically have a personalized individual map that shows you where those points are on the globe and what those areas of life, those overarching narrative arcs and stories, what they are in different parts of the world. So certain places have different energies. And we can feel this when we're traveling. When we go to different places, we just feel differently. Our quality of life feels differently. But also the stories or the threads within our overarching biography have moments in these different places that come up.
So interesting. Yeah. A lot of people listening know that I've studied astrology. I feel like I'm like a baby astrologer. Like I can do it. I can analyze a birth chart, but you know, I still have so many other passions. So I kind of have been picking up different things that I find fascinating, and astrology has definitely been one of them. And having traveled quite a bit myself over the years, as I've worked for myself and I've shared a lot of travel with my audience, when I heard about astrocartography, I was like, this is incredible. As someone who loves travel and as somebody who has really felt a very visceral energy in a place before, I had never felt pulled to a place than I did when I lived in London for about 6 months in 2016. And I was like, I have never felt like home in a place that isn't actually my home.
Yeah.
And it was just so bizarre. I was like, I have to be here. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen, but I have to. So yeah, I think so many people could potentially resonate with that, even if it's not like to live, but almost like they feel extra joyful or extra carefree or I don't know, or extra like heavy. I think it is so interesting how places have an energy. And I think what I didn't understand when I first started looking into astrocartography is that energy is different for everyone. Not everyone feels, I mean, I guess I did know that, but I think what astrocartography does and what I think is so interesting is how each place carries a different energy for different people based on their birth chart and their birth times and everything, which is so fascinating.
It's so unique to each person. And that's why I used to, you know, follow travel bloggers and they would say 10 reasons to go to Cinque Terre or whatever, mm-hmm. somewhere in the world. And every person feels differently. Someone who says it's the most magical place in the world and you'll feel so good there, it'll be different for each person. That's what's so magical about it. It's so personalized to you and your birth chart.
Totally. So what line is France for you then? And where in France? Is it all of France or only along the line?
Just a specific part of France. So it's the northeast and the southeast, so the far eastern region right on the border of Germany and Italy. But it's the Venus-IC line, which is the line of appreciation for culture, land, roots, home, ancestry. It was the first place in the world that I felt a sense of home in my life was this Venus-IC line. I've never felt at home anywhere else in the world. And it is a home line in astrocartography, but also I have my Saturn ascendant line, which is more serious, more stoic. It's about independence, taking back authority in your life in some way, thinking about time and discipline and work. So that's been a thing that's also colored how I've approached life with my Pisces rising in France with Saturn there. So big shift from where I was born in California with Jupiter on the ascendant, super different.
Okay, so you just mentioned the relocation chart, which I definitely want to get to because you guys, that is going to blow your mind when we get there. So in California then, what line is there and what was the energy difference?
Yeah, in California, I have a moon MC, which is a career line. The moon's in Leo, so it's good for performing, being visible, being seen. There's just more of that service and like helping others on a bigger level of visibility. So that line's going right through LA and California. And then I also have a Jupiter rising line, Jupiter on the ascendant, mm-hmm. which is the identity or the person can feel really optimistic, really resilient, really lucky. There's just that feeling of opportunity, growth, expansion that that person's experiencing. And I definitely feel it just being back here for 3 weeks. It's been like literally every day. It feels so much Jupiter rising here versus where I am in France, for sure.
That sounds quite nice. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay. But like Jupiter on the ascendant sounds great. And having your moon MC line there being more about career and nurturing others, and also having all the opportunities there with Jupiter on your ascendant, which is your rising sign, that sounds amazing too. So I guess what differentiates which one is better for you? I guess it's all subjective and it depends on what you think. But I guess for you, what's yeah. better about France than what seems like a great energy?
Yeah. If I wanted to focus more on career growth, coming out to California would be the best place to be, like the West Coast, if that were like my priority and that was more important. And also timing wise, because when you go to the right place at the right time, that's like an incredible opportunity to travel to those places. So right now I'm in California because the timing is really magical to be here on this career line. And the intention was to get that more career energy. But in terms of home and roots and feeling connected to an area and, you know, the people that live in the community, the way of life, that love and appreciation and that slow living, simple joys kind of energy is so present when I'm in France, that more personal, more private, more home roots energy, as opposed to the more visibility of career growth and expansion. So I love both places, but for different reasons. And I definitely feel more at home in France. And so I like France for more the permanent living situation and being there when I don't have hard transits. Your hard experiences timing-wise.
Yeah, since you've got the Saturn there as well.
Exactly. And I'm going through the Saturn return and it's literally hitting it exactly. So it's very hard being there at the moment.
Gotcha. Do you feel like there's a place where both the home and the career can both thrive? Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's say you've got a great career line and an MC point of visibility and you're really seen on that MC line. You could have the moon in the fourth house or the Venus in the fourth house, which shows a love of place or a comfortability with home and location. So you can have both. Absolutely.
Amazing. So I guess as a refresher, there is an episode for those of you who have been listening to the podcast, you might remember the astrology episode. If you are very new to astrology, you will be able to follow this conversation. But if you are wanting like more of a foundational understanding of the planets, the houses, what you're looking for in your birth chart, that episode is there for you. But Helena, would you mind just quickly going through the different energies of the lines and also where people can pull up their map as we're chatting as well? I think that could be really helpful.
Oh, yeah. You can go to astro.com. And once you create a free profile, you can scroll down to the AstroClick travel feature, and that'll show you your map. And you'll see all these different colorful lines on your map of the world. And there's 44 lines total on your map.
Thank God they're colored. Honestly.
I know.
Thank God. It looks so chaotic. I'm like, oh, gosh.
And that's only a fraction of, you know, Astro.com just shows a fraction of it. So it's like when you look at a professional software, it's like, oh, my goodness, there's so much going on. You've got four types of each line, of each planet. So we'll start with the sun. So sun lines are all about self-expression, willpower, vitality, your motivations in life, what you're aspiring toward in life. So sun lines are very, you know, solar. They're very heated. They're very shining, visible. That self-expression, that creativity comes through with sun lines. Moon lines are more inward, more self-reflective, internal, but there is this sense of nourishment and self-care, emotional connection, bonding, social themes that can be really important for moon. Moon lines are, you know, more inward, more introspective, more contemplative, that nourishment of the moon, the mother, the home, the family, that more energy.
I love the moon energy.
Totally. And moon lines, people love moon lines often when they have a nice moon in their chart for like home, family, belonging, roots, all of that. Mercury is like the little hummingbird of the zodiac. It's the messenger. You know, there's this sense of learning and study and communication and that sense of being interested in intellectual pursuits. You know, anything for effective study or communication is really great for Mercury lines, writing, things like that.
Mercury is my chart ruler, and it has never been more evident than in the season of life.
Yes.
Like, can't get enough. Actually, it has always taken a very prominent role, but yeah. Lately,
wow,
I'm just like learning
yeah.
as much as possible, podcasting.
Yes, very mercurial. Yeah, ideas, sharing, conversations. We also have Venus. Venus is love, beauty, relationships, That sense of harmony, beautiful things, the simple joys, that sense of appreciation is big with Venus. Venus is also big for love as well. We also have Mars. Mars is, you'll see it's a red line on the map, but Mars lines are all about hard work, effort. They tend to be harder lines, but there's a sense of drivenness or competitiveness or that speed, that sense of just do it, just go for things, leadership, initiative, self-assertion. That's all big with Mars lines. Can be more anger prone or frustrating depending on your chart and the situation that Mars is in your chart specifically. Mm-hmm. But Mars tends to be more difficult. It's good for initiation though and self-starting things. We also have Jupiter, which is, you know, growth, expansion, abundance, resilience, good luck, that sense of feeling lucky or lucky things coming in or wanting to grow, to expand, whether it's in learning or publishing or speaking or teaching. It's similar to Mercury in that sense, but it's more big picture as opposed to the micro details of Mercury. So Jupiter is more like philosophy and thinking about religion, spirituality, you know, those more bigger topics. Saturn lines are more restrictive, constrictive. There's a lot of work and effort put in, but there is that seriousness of, you know, whatever work you put in on a Saturn line can have enduring results years later. So Saturn brings work, dedication, time. It's a good place to kind of be productive and get things done. If you feel like you're not productive or you're kind of lazy or you indulge a lot, Saturn lines are really helpful for getting your life organized and building the foundations of something in your life to grow on. They can feel a little bit more cold though, a little bit more isolated, more like a barrier or restrictive, can be more challenging with things that come up. We have Uranus lines, which are a bit erratic and unstable, but inspiring, exciting, and authentic. You know, it's a great place to discover authenticity, let go. There's that sense of, I think, of breaking free and liberating yourself from the past. It's also good for entrepreneurs, techies, people who are astrologers, anything that's very technical. Uranus can be really helpful for people that work in the technical pursuits or humanitarian charity work, things like that. Activism is big with Uranus. Neptune lines are mystical and dreamy, glamorous. There can be very spiritual, but also escapist and getting lost in the clouds.
I am very familiar. I'm sorry. You can tell. I have some personal experience with Neptune.
Uh-huh.
Personally, like on top of, it's been on top of my Mercury, which opposes my moon for far too long.
Oh,
it's driving me crazy.
But Neptune can be romantic, too. There's that romanticizing life energy with
Neptune.
Yeah,
it's really offered me the chance to dream, which is, yes, which is good. Yeah.
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 Just, yeah, for sure. Slow transit. Yeah. Neptune is also good for like a vacation. Like I love Neptune lines for a retreat, or if you're in music, a Neptune's great for musicians, painters,
needing to disconnect,
artists,
to recenter yourself.
Yeah, totally. That tranquil energy can be really soothing with Neptune lines. And then we also have Pluto. Pluto, you know, breaks things down, sheds, removes what's not working, and gets to the heart of something that's true. I always think of Pluto as like a place to expose or find truth in something. People who work in psychology or like subconscious work, deep psychological things, or working in government as well, they can be very successful on Pluto lines because there's that truth-telling energy. Can be a powerful catalyst, though, for breaking things down and shedding, removing, purging what's not working. It can be intense. Pluto lines are intense. I always say with Pluto lines, it really depends on your natal Pluto and how it's aspected, because Pluto can be really hard for some people, but then it can be like that powerful energy of shedding, which can be really nice for others. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we have Chiron, and Chiron's the wounded healer. So it's a place of sensitivities that and triggers can come up, but it's a great place for healing and connecting with what needs to be healed in your life. And there's that inward sensitive energy that you can really get to the bottom of. And it's less intense than, like, say, for Pluto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chiron is like an asteroid. So it's not actually a planet. But yeah, I want to do a whole episode on Chiron. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then what if you're close to like your nodal line?
Yeah, the lunar nodes are places of active importance. So there's nothing challenging or negative about them per se. There's not really an energy, but rather there's a focus of volume up on an area of life and a removal or a letting go or apathy in another area of life. So it's kind of like volume up, volume down. But it often shows an important place for someone with something, especially when you've got like a north node line that's going through an area. It shows something significant that's happening in a certain area of life. Like you've got a north node going through the UK.
Yeah.
In like Scotland area. But
yeah, I always thought it was much closer to London. But yeah, because before we started recording, I was like, Helena, I swear the line that was going through London years ago when I first looked at this has moved. She just started laughing at me. She was like, I don't think it has, but maybe you just weren't looking at it right. Because yeah, I swear it used to be so close to London. And now it's like up in Scotland. I'm like, wait a minute. I think Neptune is definitely clouded the way I see things.
Well, but, you're nailing it, though. I mean, well, that's one of the biggest things I have to tell people. Like, number one most important thing, when you're looking at your map for the first time and you're trying to understand what it all means, if you see a line and it's going through the ocean or it's going through, you know, a war zone or a place that you don't want to go to.
Yeah.
You still have that story active. You're just not super close to it. So, like, in London, exactly, you are 289 miles away. So that's putting it at a medium to weaker strength. But you're right. Still getting that. That story's still very prominent with the UK for you. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to measure the distance of a line, because that'll tell you whether you're getting an intensity of that line or if it's a bit weaker or medium.
Does it show
strength.
Up the distance? Does it show up when you hover over it on Astro.com?
I don't think so. I think there's like a rulership that you can use. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't use Astro.com. So I have like with professional softwares, you can measure the distance.
Yeah, I have Astro Gold and I figured out how to measure it. But yeah, so, okay, well, I mean, I think they probably should have some sort of like ruler, but
yeah,
you can tell when it's pretty close. And then you were saying too that, and you'll see this when you're looking at your map, that it'll either say IC, AC, DC, mm-hmm. or MC. And those all are, they mean different things, and it's they pertain to angles within the birth chart. So can you share what each of those means so that they know?
Yeah. The AC is you. So it's your identity, your sense of self, your physical body, and it's also the energy that's emanating from you. So when you've got a planet on your ascendant, it's like you're literally embodying that energy and radiating that from you. Mm-hmm. So you are the active participant taking actions, approaching life in that way.
Yeah. The ascendant is like the cusp of your first house, and your first house is self.
Yeah. Very powerful place, especially for people who want to, you know, learn more about them, or they're taking a lot of active, you know, actions in their life. It's a big self place. The opposite of that is the descendant, and that's the DS. Or DSC symbol lettering, and that's other people. So this energy is emanating from others rather than you. So this is about important people in your life coming from these locations, relationships, interactions with others, the energy that's coloring other people in this location. It's also, I believe it's something like what you subconsciously attract in other people too. So it's the energy that's coming to you rather than from you. The MC is the highest point of visibility in the chart. It's the midheaven, and that is about career visibility, public, even if it's not career, it's like social status, public recognition. How do other people see you? There's a lot of being seen and visibility with MC lines. Mm-hmm. Great for career growth. And then the opposite of that is the IC, which is your more personal life, your home, your family, your roots, you know, that ancestry. There are certain lines that I don't know if you believe in past lives or anything like that, but there's certain lines.
I find it to be very fascinating. And I'm like, yeah, this seems to make a lot of sense, guys.
Yeah. The IC lines are big with IC. Like, people often feel like, I've been here before. I know this place. There's something
familiar
about it.
The IC lines are big on, like, it's like old familiarity or something.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And also home and family, too, on, like, this lifetime level. But, like Pluto IC, for instance. Pluto IC lines, like, and I've had so many clients that have said this themselves that I've just noted it as like a thing that constantly comes up. But people often feel past life related connection to Pluto IC lines.
Okay. Can we talk about what the line is that's the closest to me in my chart?
You mean where you are in the UK?
Yeah. Like, which line is the one that goes closest to me?
The line that's closest to you is the node on the descendant. So in faded relationships, important karmic connections with others that are being had in this area.
Oh, okay. Because I thought Pluto was also quite close to me. But is it
Pluto is farther away. It's closer to Ireland. It's in the ocean. It's about 575 miles. So it's a weak strength from the UK. Interesting. Yeah. When Pluto's on your ascendant, there's that sense of you feeling very powerful and you transforming and shedding and removing, but also getting to the heart of something true. It's also a powerful place of self, realizations of self, all of that. I just want to...
Because that is what my last few years of living here has felt like. But then I also was like, well, the North Node feels like maybe I was meant to be here.
Yeah. Oh, no. The North Node is definitely, you know, it shows something karmic about people in your life and connections with other people in your life. But there are other things in your chart that are nice, too. For example, you have a Perun. And for anyone who doesn't know what a Perun is, it's basically a latitude line. So a latitude line is a secondary influence, but it also really impacts the energy and the story of a place. Okay. And you have it going right through London. And this Perun is Mercury-Venus. And it's a blend of two energies. So a Perun is like a blend of two planets. At some point in the world, they crossed those astrocartography lines and it created that Perun that came to London. But Mercury-Venus is like... You know, exploring creativity, self-expression, great conversations with people, ideas. It's the blend of like thoughts and ideas and speaking and writing with others and connecting with people. That line is literally going right through London, which is it's a nice latitude to be at and where you live.
Interesting. That's awesome. Is that one also really close to Windsor or is
it possible? Yeah, it's going directly through there as well. Yeah. And these Very have cool. a mileage of 75 miles. So 75 miles north and 75 miles south.
So cool. And then talk about, let's go into the relocation chart. What is a relocation chart? One of the biggest things that has come up for me over the last couple of years is just how healing nature can be. We are so conditioned to think that the pharmacy shelves are where we need to go to find the best medicine, but actually, it can often be found underneath our feet or growing in the garden. As you all know, my mental and physical health have taken a bit of a beating over the last few years. So since she's called Mother Nature after all, I've decided to start slowly looking to her for more natural remedies for just about everything. It's a process that will take time, but thankfully, I was able to find a skincare brand that aligns perfectly with these new values of mine pretty quickly. Osea Malibu is a women-owned, clean, clinically proven skincare company based out of California, rooted in over 100 years of multi-generational female wisdom and a belief in the healing power of nature. They have been sustainable from the start, measuring every decision and product that is made against the environmental impact it makes on our planet and collective well-being. Moreover, they are vegan, cruelty-free, climate-neutral, and ocean-positive. I mean, really? Can they do any wrong? I think not. Their product's main ingredient is Andaria algae, which is a brown seaweed rich in nutrients like sodium, iron, potassium, calcium, and vitamins B1, B2, B3, B6, and B12. All the other ingredients are plant-based, ensuring you're getting the most natural formulations to tackle issues like dryness, redness, and wrinkles. Two of my personal favorite products are their Andaria Algae Body Butter and Body Oil. They are their bestsellers, and you can buy them together or separate, but you certainly get more value for your money when you buy them as a set. Both of these products are clinically proven to provide an improvement in skin elasticity, deliver deep moisturization, and provide 72 hours of hydration. Not to mention, they are fast-absorbing and never greasy. So, if you're ready to make the swap to clean skincare, head to the link in the show notes or on our website, consciouslycuriouspodcast.com, and enter AllisonHaley10 to receive 10% off your order at Osea Malibu. Again, you can find the link in the show notes and you'll receive 10% off your order, regardless of what product you snag, when you enter AllisonHaley10, that's AllisonHaley10, at checkout.
Yeah, a relocation chart is basically your birth chart, but in a different part of the world. So when you took your first breath in the world at that exact moment, in another part of the world, those planets were in different positions. So like in one location, Jupiter was rising, but in another location, Jupiter was setting. So we have four points where those planets are going to one of those four angles. Those planets are in four different points on the map. When you move your chart, you're basically moving the chart to those areas to see what is happening as part of the story in a new location. So those different areas of life, like friends, relationships, creativity, children, money, all those different areas of life, they shift depending on where you are. And that's the relocated chart. Is essentially your relocated chart is just the same chart, but in a new location.
So it's essentially like the only thing that really changes is your rising sign, which your rising sign sets the houses to be in a different order, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the rising then the planets show up in the same places, but in different parts of your chart in a different house.
Exactly. So your, you know, your Pisces sun is still your Pisces sun at 7 degrees. It's always going to be that. But now we're moving it from the seventh house of relationships and others where you were born. We're now moving it into the fifth house of children, creativity, and self-expression.
Okay, but what does it do to my rising sign?
The rising sign shifts as well, because the rising sign is who you are. And you go from being a Virgo rising in Florida to, in the United Kingdom, a Scorpio rising. The energy that's emanating from you, but also your perception, your filter, how you see the world, your approach to life, how you take action in life, it shifts. And I always like to say your natal chart is still you. That's the foundation mm-hmm. of who you are. It's your blueprint. It's your natal promise. Mm-hmm. Whatever your birth chart promises will happen and is you. But now it's like we're kind of getting this second layer or this overlay of you exploring a different aspect of consciousness. And I think that's my favorite thing about astrocartography is literally you can explore and see life in different ways.
Okay, so this is, I think, where the Pluto does come in. While the line isn't close to me, I did know that my rising is Scorpio here, but I didn't connect these dots because it's important to go back to your natal chart and look at where, well, your natal Pluto is. And my natal Pluto, well, sorry, not my natal Pluto. I'm getting confused with what I'm trying to express, but basically, in my rising sign shifting to my first house, it was in my third house, which houses my natal Pluto. So now my natal Pluto conjuncts, which means sits very, very close to my ascendant, which I think in so many ways, and it's in my first house of self, and my self has literally crumbled and become something completely different.
Yes, that's what Pluto demands. Authenticity, truth, but also the destruction and the rebirth of something. And when it's on your ascendant, it's your identity. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so powerful. And so, yeah, you natally have it in the third house. But when you come out to the UK and that relocated chart, right, you move that chart, it moves to the first house. And that's why you're seeing that Pluto line on the ascendant in the UK, because the map is just showing you what the relocated chart is saying. The map software was created in the 70s by Jim Lewis, but mm-hmm. astrologers have been using relocated charts for hundreds of years before then. And so we start with the relocated chart, and now we have a software that shows us where all of those lines are angular or on those points, the ascendant, descendant, MC, IC, in the world.
It's so crazy, but you said that the relocated chart and Pluto being conjunct the ascendant definitely can give context to why maybe I felt a bit like my old self is dead. And like I've had to like really work toward, it's almost like Pluto demands for what is beneath to come through, to come forward and be and come to the surface, essentially. And that is like literally what I've felt like. But it doesn't matter how close that line is to me. Maybe if that line was closer, it would feel even more intense.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair
Absolutely.
To say?
Absolutely. Because that would put at 0 degrees or 1 degree. It would be at 1 degree
okay.
separation.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which would put it very intense. Like that story is so prominent. You're still experiencing it.
Yeah.
Even if you live in a place where there are no lines, there's nothing going on except for maybe a parent or something, you still have a relocated chart. You still have a story that's being had. It's just no planets are on the angles.
You know what I find to be really interesting about the relocated chart, having been here for 4 years, one of the questions that I had was, okay, so I have this new relocated chart. I do follow the planets, not super, super closely, but I keep an eye on where they are. And I was like, I wonder if the relocated chart should be what I track my transits with, or if I should still use my natal chart. But then I was like, well, let me just test it out and like see based on the houses. And I think they're both simultaneously active.
Yes, 100%.
It's they both wild.
Are. Yeah.
Like it is right, great. Because, okay, for example, God, stay with me here. Because Saturn just went into Pisces over this last year. Mm-hmm. Before that, in 2020, it went into Aquarius. Aquarius in my natal chart rules my sixth house of daily work and routines, of overall health and wellness. And with my relocated chart, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not looking at my relocated chart, but it Aquarius rules my fourth house of home.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn calls you to really like basically like do the most responsible thing and figure out like how you can, you know, create systems and structures that allow you to kind of like level up, right?
Yeah.
And I moved abroad. I had to figure out how to do life in a new country as a permanent resident. I had to like set up my business. I had to like set up a new home. We moved multiple times to like find a home that was right for us. So that was active in my fourth house. And then also in my sixth house of daily work and routines were completely in shambles because I was in a new place and I had to really figure out what that my work and my daily routine was. Also, we were in the midst of a pandemic. And I also started getting like curious about maybe not drinking as much and not seeing like the value of that and like what that does to my body and different things like that. But it's just really interesting. That's just one example. And of course, you know, I don't really want the whole podcast to be about my personal example, but I think it's helpful to highlight these things when you're looking at it because it could give a lot of context to your own personal experiences and not to say like, oh, Saturn is causing this or whatever. We all have free will, but it's just interesting. Like when you do move, like, you know, these two stories are playing alongside each other.
Oh, completely. And I've experienced this myself personally, but also with so many of my clients. They're getting the main natal chart transit. They're still experiencing that Saturn wherever it's transiting through the area of life. But they're also getting that second layer, that overlay of also experiencing that in another part of the world. It's fascinating. I experienced this, you know, in France because I'm on my Saturn ascendant. So Saturn is literally right on my sense of self. I'm in the middle of my Saturn return right now. I experienced this last year and this year as Saturn was approaching and applying to that exact line or that exact angle of the sense of self. My body, my physical body was just so tired all the time. And I felt this and I wasn't even looking at my chart because, you know, as an astrologer, I look at so many of my clients and so many other people that I stop looking at my own sometimes because I'm just so busy with work. And I wasn't even looking at my like transits for the relocated chart or anything. And there was just a day where I got up and I was like, I have got to figure out what's happening. Why right. is my body so tired? I'm not usually like this. I eat well, all of the things. Saturn was literally on my ascendant by degree the first day when I started experiencing this. And so
it was also your physical body, guys.
Yes. Yeah, the ascendant's your physical body. And I felt that Saturn is tiredness, drain. You know, and I felt that so much. And so I came out here to the U.S. and to start traveling a little bit until this Saturn starts passing over that ascendant point. So that I'm not.
I got really tired of that. That was really annoying.
It's like, there's got to be an easier way to live life. Like, there's got to be an easier way to do things. And literally, I feel it. Every time I leave that area during this transit, I feel so much different. So different.
So yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, you can really use this for, I guess you don't want to always bypass the hard transits, but it can be helpful if you've been working your way through it and you're like, all right, I've got the lessons from this. But yeah, I guess I want to talk a little bit about if anyone's not sure about what it means when it comes to seeing your birth chart as a story. Can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit just in case anyone listening is a little bit what does that mean?
I'm an ancient astrologer using Hellenistic techniques. So I focus a lot on the natal promise of what will come from a chart at some point in life.
Okay.
I use a lot of advanced timing techniques to see the exact times of when things happen. But basically, your chart shows you the blueprint for a lot of themes in your life. Mm. Like, for instance, your second house is the house of money and how you make money and how you spend money. You can see the relationship between how you make money with other areas of life. So you can see the ways in which you'll make money, in the ways it'll be easy, it'll be abundant when you connect with that natal promise of the chart. You can see where will be important places in the world to meet people or the themes of others in your life, whether it's working with people or it's more romantic or more friendship oriented. You can see the natal promise of you. What are you here to do in this life?
One of the ones that's come up in mine, and it hasn't ever been referenced as a natal promise, but I'm just, I have four planets in my seventh house of relationships.
Yeah.
And so that's always kind of been something that any astrologer that's read for me has been like, relationships are massive for you. And it doesn't even mean personal, like romantic relationships. It's every relationship. That's also like how you're meant to do well in life is like if you run a business, you're going to make more money when you work with other people. And for example, my business for a long time has done well because I partnered with brands like partnership in any way, exactly. shape or form. Like partners are going to be a big theme in my life. So yeah, thanks for explaining that. Saying story or natal promise was definitely outside of what I had heard before.
A lot of ancient astrologers use the word natal promise. In ancient astrology, there's like this belief that the things that are going to happen will happen at some point. It's just a matter of timing.
So I'm curious, once you move to a place, say you didn't know anything about astrocartography, and say you move to like a really powerful line, say you move to your Mars line or something like that, do you feel it immediately, or does it sometimes take a while for the energy to come through in a way?
Immediately.
Okay.
Immediately. I've experienced this so much. You could experience this traveling, like flying. Mm-hmm. When your plane is going over certain lines, you'll notice.
Really?
You feel differently. Oh, yeah, I've tracked this so often. And I won't even know. I'll just notice I'm getting a little irritable or I'm just getting a little annoyed and there's no reason for it. And so as I'm traveling over lines, I'll, like, pull up the airplane map just to see where am I in the world. And I'll be going over, like, right over a Mars line or something. It's
oh,
wild.
Wow.
But, yeah, like, I had my honeymoon in Egypt. I didn't know about astrocartography at the time.
Okay.
Didn't know about it or anything. But I've always felt a call to Egypt, went to Egypt for my honeymoon. Immediately when my plane descended, I was feeling just irritable and just uncomfortable and not happy. And we lived there for a month and a half, and Mars was on my ascendant. And Mars is, for me personally, a very hard planet in my chart. It's my hardest planet. And so that was an experience where it was like you literally felt it immediately. I felt it on cruise ships, boats, ferries, crossing from one line, Saturn line, to a Venus line. And I'm not even paying attention to it. I'm just working or doing something. And I notice my energy is different. And so, yeah, you'll feel it immediately. The thing that takes time is the story or the themes of the relocated chart.
Okay.
So, you know, those that different areas of life, that happens over time.
You'll start because that's what I kind of was like, oh, this must just happen over time. I did feel like immediately, like, I think over the course of a few weeks, I felt like I instantly loved London. But I think it took a while for me to be like, oh my gosh, I like love this place. But I think, yeah, like the longer that you stay on the line, the themes come through over time. Because that Plutonian crumbling and then like new stuff coming up and like the truth coming through. Yeah, that took a while. So yeah, that was why I was curious about that.
That's big with transits too. So like when if you use a professional software, you can see the lines moving. So like the transits, the progressions, you'll see them moving across the map and like hitting those areas on the map.
Oh, interesting.
So if you've got a hard transit that's hitting that Pluto line, you know, if you've got a line hitting that on the map, it'll come up in an even bigger, more obvious dynamic way.
So interesting. So yeah, because I think, you know, as like, I guess playing devil's advocate, you could say like, oh, well, since you know all about this stuff, every time you travel, like you're just going to make that energy, like it's just going to become your reality if you're looking for it kind of thing. But yeah, interesting that you didn't have the experience of Egypt and know that.
Yeah, I didn't know. Oh, so many. And that's how I learned astrocartography. It was because I had lived around the world and traveled to all these places in the world. I had backpacked and been everywhere.
How did you get into it?
I got into it because I was a world traveler. I was backpacking the world, going to so many places, living in so many different places in the U.S. and abroad. And when I moved to France, I felt home for the first time. And I didn't understand why when my husband and I moved to France. And I was listening to a podcast about ley lines or those points of chakra points in the world. I was thinking, like, do places have energies? Like, are they unique to us?
Yeah, I mean, if we have energy, if we are energy, then...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I did a Google search. I found astrocartography and I've just been in love with it ever since 2018. But I had so many specific experiences in so many different parts of the world that it's so on the nose about that story or that event that happened or that experience that happened. And I've worked with over 1,500 clients at this point in the last 2 years. The business has
Wild.
Just grown so big, but it's like it's so on the nose for so many people.
Yeah.
That it's like, you can't make this stuff up. It's so literal.
Yeah, I know. I think that about astrology too. I mean, I know people question it and I get that. I've never looked into like the Hellenistic timing techniques. That sounds really cool, really interesting. But Yeah, I just think that there is so much more to it than people give it credit for.
Oh, yeah. And like the planets have very specific meanings. The houses are very specific.
Oh, the houses are like dead on. And oh, so are, yeah. I mean, so are the planets, but yeah.
Yeah. The sun. But it's funny, like, you know, they're all specific.
All of it. So let's talk about like, so I feel like people can like look at this and be like, okay, well, then I'm just going to find my Jupiter line and head right there.
Yeah.
You know? What do you see? Are they usually more called to their like benefic lines, or do you see clients equally called just as much to their malefic lines, if you even use those terminologies?
Absolutely.
Every planet has beautiful aspects to it.
Yes, definitely.
But they're the harder ones, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Oh, people are often drawn to the nodes. The lunar nodes are big ones that people consistently are drawn to. The Pluto IC is also a line people are often drawn to for some reason. I think it's past life, could be something deeper, ancestral, who knows, but people love or are often drawn to the Pluto IC line. And then the positive lines. Some people can often feel called to go to harder lines though too. And there's always something to learn from those harder lines. There's always an experience to be had for growth or learning something or uncovering something. And I find that leading with your intuition and your inner voice first.
Oh, yes.
1,000%. And asking, 100%. Like, ask yourself, where do I feel called to go? Where in the world do I feel a pull, a calling, a yearning in the direction, a continent, a country?
I think that's like a soul thing, too. Like, I think that we're all here for healing in some way, shape, or form. And life, I'm sorry to be like, this is so like Scorpionic, but life isn't always supposed to be super fun.
No. Oh, no. I'm a Scorpio rising. I'm right there with you. I'm Scorpio. Like, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I just, I mean, to be honest, I'm like, oh gosh, man, this has been tough.
Yeah.
I think what has been tough about it is that like, I love London so much, but I'm like, wow, if this is like going to feel this intense for my rest of my life, I have to like rethink like whether this makes sense. But I do think that in so many ways, my soul led me here to kind of shed what wasn't as Not that what wasn't authentic to me, because I think I was my authentic self before coming here, but it's almost like Pluto was like, okay, yes, but this other stuff is true for you too, and that has to come through in order for you to feel fully expressed, which is the whole point of the podcast, for me to kind of be like, yeah, some of these topics might be taboo, and that's fine if you don't like it, but I think they're really interesting, so you don't have to listen to it.
And sometimes our conscious mind doesn't want to experience something hard.
Yeah,
our soul needs to. Like, our soul wants to. It's something that's deeper within us subconsciously.
Well, and I think, too, that's like what offers you the healing is when you allow yourself to listen to the voice that's like, well, I think it's really interesting that my soul, like, made it like the most beautiful place in the world to me. So it's like, it's going to be really hard, but at least you'll be in a place that like looks beautiful for you.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is it is interesting how certain places do call you.
Oh, yeah. Here's just this little story to kind of show how this works. But like, I went to my Pluto line in Iceland recently, and I've got a hard Pluto. It's exactly opposite my sun by degrees, so 0 degree opposition. Okay. And I went to Iceland where I've got a sun and Pluto there. And this was a trip where I was expecting it to be great because I am an optimist and I have Jupiter on my ascendant. So I'm always trying to see everything like glass half full. Everything's going to be great.
Expectations to also make it even more difficult.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Completely. Dang it. Why did I like pump this up so much?
Completely. Completely. And I went to Iceland and the eclipse was happening in October this last year. And it was right on my sun. The eclipse literally hit my sun. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't Taurus. It was my nodal return.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was exactly on it by degree, that eclipse.
Wow.
And I experienced it in Iceland. And of course, I went to Iceland and I was like, this is going to be great. It's going to be magical. It's going to be amazing. It broke me open. It completely, and it wasn't something that there were some jarring things that happened for sure, but also it was an internal thing. It was like this subconscious fear just rose to the surface and begged to be explored. And I just broke it down. And I transformed it. Now I alchemized it. I sat with that.
Yeah.
And I literally left Iceland a completely different person. I have never been the same. I've never felt
I think
the
it's
same.
One of those things. It's like you might be drawn to a place that could hold some heaviness, but regardless of whether it's a good or bad experience, at the end of the day, you'll be happy that it was a part of your story because it needed to be felt. It needed to be expressed. And yeah, like you were saying, I think at the beginning of this part of the conversation is that like our intuition tells you what your soul needs in order for you to bring things to the surface that need to be seen, acknowledged, felt, healed. And I mean, not in every place. I mean, we're talking about Pluto here, but you know.
Exactly, though. It was like the soul knew, but my conscious mind didn't know. I wasn't even really paying attention to the eclipse on my degree that day and like going to a Pluto line. I should have, but I didn't. And I was completely shocked.
But in the same breath too, like it could be a Mercury line that your soul is calling you to.
Maybe yeah.
You had to write a book and you had yes. no idea that a book lived within you. And you like are like, dang, I just like have to get this out. Like,
completely.
You know, it doesn't have to be like as
no, I know.
Tough as Pluto, but.
We're Scorpio risings talking.
I know, seriously. Listeners like, shut these girls up. Jesus. Depressing. Okay.
But yet, like, with like children, like maybe you go to a moon line and you realize you want children and that was an important part of the world to bring that up, you know? Or Venus, you know, you find love on your love line in the world. And it's like you never thought you would want to get married or be in a partnership. You wanted to be independent, but then you find that love and you experience that. And that's a place that your soul like wants
to
bring in.
It's also interesting. I just was thinking too, how you could use it to make decisions that you're unsure of.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is that you're trying to figure out, look at which planet might be able to help you mm-hmm. figure it out, like using that energy. And then figure out where that line is as close as you can get to it and see if you can take a trip or, I don't know, sometimes what if it's like through Australia and you live in like Maine, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do in those situations?
In those situations, well, I mean, you could definitely plan a trip and you could time it for the right time. So it's like it's so expensive to fly that far out. It's like make sure that you're going to the right time and right place, latitude and everything. But you could also bring that energy to you. I mean, this isn't like a literal way of experiencing it, but if you feel really called to like Hawaii, let's say, mm-hmm. and you've got a beautiful Venus or a moon line going through Hawaii and you want to connect with that energy, you don't have to really go to Hawaii. I mean, you could. That's the best way to use it. But you could also watch YouTubers vlog their life in Hawaii. You mm-hmm. could, you know, listen to the music. You can put a picture, a poster of Hawaii over your desk and connect with that place, that location in the world and bring that energy to you. I always think of that as like a remote activation way of utilizing astrocartography. So same with relationship lines, like those descendant lines. Let's say you don't want to move somewhere far away, but you've got a great love line there. You could meet someone in Maine that's from that Venus descendant line in Sydney. So they were born and raised in Sydney.
Oh, wow.
And they live in Maine. You know, that's a huge thing I see with clients when they meet their spouses is they often it's on the line or it can be that partner was born and raised on that line or
oh,
born
so
there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like thinking about John's. I'm like, well, I met him near my North Node line. So I feel like that means we're destined to be together.
The volume up on the marriage. Yeah. Or the karmic relationship. Yeah.
What does volume up mean? What do you mean?
Volume up is North Node. So the North Node
okay.
is like,
I've never heard it referred to that.
Yeah.
You teach me so many new astrology terms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In ancient astrology, North Node is Rahu, which is the head of the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
The dragon or like volume up, something that you're kind of growing toward. And then volume down is what you're walking away from or the tail of the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to do a whole episode on North and South Node as well.
Yeah.
North Node is like where your soul is wanting to go in this life. So clearly, mm-hmm. my soul really wanted John.
Yeah.
Thought him out. Amazing. So actually, it was funny. I've looked at my son and I've looked at my son, Louis, and my partner, John's astrocartography. Mm-hmm. I guess I have a couple questions about how you would use it to like plan a move mm-hmm. with other people that you obviously share life with. Obviously, you want to look at a place that is pretty good for both people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what the future holds. You know, we want to be in the UK forever. But, you know, I would be lying if I said I didn't think like, oh, well, while my dad's around, like, wouldn't it be potentially nice to like be back in Florida for maybe a few years just while Louis's little before he goes into like full on like middle and high school kind of thing. Again, don't know if we would ever do that. But out of curiosity, I was looking at John's astrocartography and his Mars descendant line goes directly through Jacksonville. But he has his Mars is in Libra and there's no mm-hmm. squares or opposition to his natal Mars. And it's in his third house, I think. But Anyway, I guess my question is, like, when you see something like that, like a Mars descendant line, because descendant is about relationships. So immediately I'm like, oh gosh, like we're going to fight all the time. You know, your mind goes to really terrible places. So would you advise against that? Like, would you usually advise against a harder line?
Yeah.
When you would see something like that?
Usually, especially if it's going right through an area, I'm usually more cautious because Mars descendant, Mars, when it's in Libra, it's conflict avoidance. So it's actually not as confrontational as like Mars in Aries or Mars in Scorpio, right? So that is, you know, lighter. Luckily, there's no squares or anything like that. But usually I would avoid being directly on a malefic planet unless, you know, there was something helpful, like the latitude line is nice, like if a nice parent or something.
So having context to the natal chart is so important with things, with those kinds of decisions.
Exactly. And with the natal chart, for any advanced people listening with astrology, I'm really looking at the aspects to that planet.
So which square, opposition.
Yeah. Like and that. Something within like 0 to 3 degrees, like something really tight, because that can show a challenge with that planet in an area. But Mars, you know, something like Mars, Mars is independence. Mars is learning independence.
It's drive, you know, ambition.
Yes. And meeting others that have that too. And that can be helpful for work and getting things off the ground. So there's always a benefit to a malefic planet. So I wouldn't worry about it. But check those parents too, the latitude ones.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, that could probably come up with lots of people who are like, well, these places are great for me, but not great for my partner. So yeah, I just wondered if like how you advise couples in deciding.
Yeah. And the big thing is the parents. So it's like, even if you move 30 minutes north or 30 minutes south, you can drastically alter the energy just by latitude based on those latitude lines. Those latitude lines are so important. They can really make or break a place. Like I've had so many clients who have lived on great, you know, astrocartography lines and they're so supported in the chart, but they're on one of the hardest parents, you know? So that can really show a lot more to the story in like specific towns and cities and all of that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I feel like I could keep talking about this all day long. This is like so interesting. I love your YouTube channel and I haven't watched all the videos, but I've watched quite a few. It's no secret to anyone listening that the last few years since 2020 has been wild. And I think we can all agree that the energy has felt different. You have a very objective take on things.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like, well, when it comes to what you're seeing with the planets energetically, especially as it applies to different people's charts, including the United States. So you can actually pull a natal chart for the time that you started a business from the time that a country was founded. And things like that. And so within the astrology community, there's been a lot of talk about a certain astrological event coming up. And also we have the U.S. election coming up in the few months as well. So I'd love to hear some of your takes on what you're seeing for the states, what you're seeing for the election. And I think it's really lovely how you cover it because you really take a zero stance either way, which I think is refreshing.
Yeah. And I just think as an astrologer, it's so important to remain neutral when you're studying these things.
Oh, yeah.
Because you never want your personal bias or your emotional response, all of that, to cloud what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be as accurate as possible. And what we're seeing now, astrologers, I mean, we had a huge thing with the pandemic. The Saturn-Pluto conjunction was massive. And a lot of
I wish I had understood astrology back then because I know that there was wild stuff going on.
Astrologers were saying years before, like, get ready, beginning of 2020. Like, and it was just wild. Because it was – the thing is with these transits, and we're going to get into the election and all that, but these transits, Pluto, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, slow moving. Pluto moves 20 to 30 years, it moves in one sign. So, you know, Uranus is 7 to 8 years. So these are really slow moving planets when they move.
Yeah, whereas Mercury takes like no time at all to get through.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. So we're talking about generational things. We're talking about history, historical events. There's a great book for any fans out there.
I love that you're going to mention this.
Yes, Cosmos.
I haven't read it, but it's literally in my bookshelf. I'm like, I will get to you. Because it's
so good. It's a read, though. It's an event to read through that. But it's called Cosmos and Psyche by Richard Tarnas. It's a fascinating book on historical events and these major outer
I also love how he explains planets. If you ever want to like learn more about the planets, he does a really great
He's great. He's got a lot of
Yeah.
But what we're in now, we're in the prelude to 2025 to about 2033. It's about that long of a time. We're in the year before. And this is right now the prelude to the Uranus return of the United States. And this is a big deal because it happens once every 84 years. And in the United States, major revolution, civil unrest, political shakeups and changes with the foundation of the country are going on. So the last time we had it was World War II. The time before that was the American Civil War, the American Revolution. Throughout history, if you go back hundreds of years to the beginning of the country, the U.S. natal chart, July 4th, 1776, we have always been involved in major crises with the Uranus return of the U.S. And it's starting to happen in 2025. For about eight years.
Uranus is going to go into the sign of Gemini. It's been in Taurus for a while.
Yeah. And we're also going to have something big called the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. That's also a really big transit because it takes a long time for that to happen. And this is also tension. You know, I think of things like faith and religion and beliefs and, you know, all of that. With Saturn, there's restriction or challenge or difficulty with something. So we are going through It's a fascinating time to be alive right now
yeah.
and to watch this play out. And I think as astrologers, we're all just paying close attention to the news this year because the little micro events, the little things that are happening now are building to what 2025 to 2033 will be about. Mm-hmm. And for instance, Trump's chart, his natal chart, when he was born, his chart, he's literally baked into the U.S. chart, like in the sense that he literally was born to do something really important with the United States.
Yeah. Her YouTube video goes way more into this in terms of like explaining why. It's fascinating.
Yeah. But he came here to this life to do something, to change something or to make a huge shakeup or some sort of message that he is bringing. It's changing the government, the U.S. There's going to be so much going on. We're going to start seeing this a lot more in October of this year. October of this year is going to be a really interesting time to witness to see what the next few years will be about. But yeah, it's fascinating. It's a fascinating case study to study this. And I predict that either Trump will win if he's running against Biden, mm-hmm. or if he doesn't win because of something like he gets barred from running in some way, because it looks mm-hmm. weird. Like the election looks really bizarre. Mm-hmm. It looks shocking and unexpected. And like people don't know what's going on until the end or like January.
Right.
But when we do get clarity, either he's won or his message and what his whole message is like creating something bigger with the U.S., like the people and the government and everything. Like, whether that's, you know, a revolution or something, it's just fascinating to see how interwoven his chart is with the U.S. chart and the timing of 2025 to 2033. It's all together.
I see. Yeah, interesting. And what I think is interesting about astrological cycles, well, and even just like quote unquote predictions, it's not even that an exact thing will happen. It's just saying like the energy has caused this in the past. Look at what it's caused in the past. The last time these two planets came together. I just think that that's why I find astrology. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I find astrology to be so interesting. But when you look at it from a cyclical perspective, it's just wild. Like how it always causes different things to happen, obviously, but it all falls along the same vein of the energy.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer that astrology is just a reflection of what's happening. So I think of the cosmos as like messengers, and they're giving us a message. I think of the cosmos as really benevolent in the sense that they're telling us on Earth, like, here's something to know. Here's something to be aware of. Here's something to prepare for. And that's what astrology has been used since first century BC. The ancient Mesopotamians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, they used ancient Hellenistic astrology, these techniques, to prepare for the downfall of kings, to prepare for the collapse of civilizations. Like that's literally what astrology has been used for since the beginning, is to prepare from that Stoic perspective of, you know, this is what could be happening. So let's prepare for it so that we're not caught off guard and we're not shocked, but rather we know what's coming, good things and bad things, preferable things, unpreferable things. And that's how I approach astrology. And most ancient astrologers and you know, people who study mundane astrology or the world historical events with astrology, these cycles that you can see over time and throughout history, we approach it with that lens of like how interesting that this cycle's coming up again now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Not in like a fear-mongering way, right. You know. And I mean, I'm sure there are people that do use it in that way, but right. I think you have to believe that like that's not the essence of what most people use it for.
Exactly. I think it's so big on Instagram and TikTok. You just see so much of that. There is that fear-mongering, but there's a way to look at it that's also stoic and helpful. And that lens of preparation that I think is really useful. For me, I don't like crises. I don't like being caught off guard. I like having a sense of, okay, this might be a theme that comes up. Okay. You know, it's helpful, I think, to know these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Helena, you have been such a joy to have on the podcast. So thanks for joining me. I want to ask you just two more quick questions. Well, actually three quickly. What line are you exploring next? Or where are you going from California?
I know. I want to go. So I'm going home to France to get my visa because my visa was approved. Yay.
Oh, nice.
There's a whole process. But I want to go next.
It always is.
I want to go to Sri Lanka to my Mercury ascendant line. Yeah, I'm writing a book and I want to just get that going. And then I also want to head to my Jupiter IC line in Japan. Those are some places I have next on my list this year.
Amazing. That's so lovely. I'm also curious as to what it is that you are currently curious about as you are on the Consciously Curious podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so curious about geodetic astrology, which
I've never heard of that.
Yes, it's making predictions with the earth, like climate change, natural disasters, with eclipses, using geodetic points. So geodetic astrology is a branch of locational astrology, just like astrophotography is a branch of locational astrology. But it's using place with events or historical things that are happening in certain pockets of the globe and making predictions for them based on the eclipses and the degrees of the eclipses. So that's kind of what I'm fascinated with right now, geodetic astrology.
That's great.
Yeah. And also zodiacal releasing. I've been obsessed with zodiacal releasing for years, but I'm teaching a course on it now and just getting back.
I want to take it.
That, it's so cool. Your biography, you could see these list of dates, just like dates of peak periods, pivots, challenges, supportive completions. Like it's fascinating. And so
it's a whole other layer to a reading, I think.
Yeah, completely. And so I'm getting deep into that for teaching my students in the course. And yeah, those are things I'm really curious and fascinated by.
I love it. I love it. Oh, well, please tell everyone where to find you if they want a reading with you or how they can connect with you. Where can they find you?
Oh, yeah. So you could go to my website, helenawoods.com. I've got so much there. I have a free astrocartography guide and a free astrocartography cheat sheet.
We'll link that down below in the show notes.
Totally. And so you can get started with that to just start learning. I've got my courses, my astrocartography courses, my astrology courses online on my website as well. And if you guys did want to join the locational astrology course, I'm gifting your audience a 10% off if they use the code CONSCIOUS. So
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, yeah, if you wanted to follow my life and my sharings and my findings as I travel the world, I'm on YouTube, Astrocartography with Helena. I have my creative spiritual channel, Helena Woods, which is the other YouTube channel. And then I'm on Instagram at Ms. Helena Woods.
You are everywhere.
That's great.
I am. Okay. I will link all of that in the show notes. Definitely connect with Helena. Oh my gosh, you've been such a joy. Thank you so much. I definitely want to have you on again in the future. I feel like there's so much more that we could have talked about.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We'll do a follow-up. That'll be fun.
Yes, that'll be fun. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Consciously Curious podcast with Allison Haley. If you enjoyed it, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While listening to the episodes is incredibly valuable, actually subscribing to the show is the best way to support it and get it in front of more people. Everything mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes below or on our website, consciouslycuriouspodcast.com. You can find me, Haley, over on Instagram, @Allison_Haley. So come follow along and be sure to say hi. I'd love to see what clips from the episodes you've been loving, so be sure to share them on your stories and tag me. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you next week.